Okay, so welcome everybody to our Parsha class learning. So it's a famous Parsha. All of Bamidbar, it's the famous or slash infamous Parsha. And until now, it's been from the Misonanim, the complainers, seeking pretext in Perek Yud Aleph. Bnei Yisrael has found themselves in one trouble after another, and Parashas Chukas does not deviate from the theme of the troubles that befall the Israelites in the desert, specifically in this week's Parasha. First of all, Chukas, it begins with Para Aduma, the laws of the red heifer, the cow that is Tame the Tahorim, and Metahir the Tameim. The cow can't have more than two black hairs. He who is Tame Mace undergoes the procedure where the Kohen sprinkles the ashes of the Para Aduma upon the impure person. He becomes Tahor. The one who sprinkles, of course, becomes Tame. That is the beginning of the Parsha. And then, of course, we have Parak Chaf of Bamidbar, chapter 20. And what a tragic parsha. First of all, Miriam dies in this week's parsha. Aaron at the top of Har Ha-Har dies in this week's parsha. And Moshe, in a sense, though not in a physical sense, rather a metaphysical sense, also dies in this week's parsha. Not in a physical sense, but in a metaphysical sense. And therefore, the leaders that have carried us from infancy, from the banks of the Nile River, Vateitzasav Achoso Merachok Lada Ma'aya Aselo, and his sister stood from afar to know what would be done for him, and she sends forth her ama, either her hand or her maids of it, Vatiftach, and she opens the basket, Vihine Na'ar Bocha, there is a boy that is crying. So Balaturim famously says, who's crying by the banks of the reed? Na'ar. She understands Na'ar does not mean Moshe, it's referring to somebody else. The Baal Turim says Aharon is standing there crying. So when we first meet these three personalities on the banks of the river looking out for each other, Miriam, the brave Miriam, should I go and call a nursemaid from the Hebrews? And she's watching, and Aharon is standing there and crying, and Moshe, the redeemer and the leader of the Israelites, is floating down the Nile River, cast to the winds of fate. We have met them 80 years almost earlier at that juncture, and here we, in a sense, take leave of Miriam in a physical sense, of Aaron in a physical sense, and of Moshe in a metaphysical sense. How tragic. Rav Soloveitchik says, why is Chukas the parsha where these three leaders are lost to us? Because Zos Chukas HaTorah, Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohel, is not only referring to the tragedy of death wherein a person becomes Tamei Meis, but to the great mystery, Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohel, the great mystery of our leaders who were lost to us. Consider that all the women entered into Eretz Yisrael. The women of this generation entered into Eretz Yisrael. They did not sin by Egel. They did not sin by Chedem Meragim. In fact, I may have quoted in this class, but I don't know if I did or I didn't. But the Kli Yakar, one of my favorite interpretations of Shlach Lecha Anashim V'yasuru Es Eretz Kanaan Asher Ninosein L'vnei Yisrael, 13:2, God says to Moshe, send for yourself men who will tour out the land of Israel. Why isn't it just say Shlach Anashim V'yasuru Es Eretz Kanaan? That makes a lot of sense. Shlach Anashim V'yaturu at Eretz Kanaan. Send men and they will scout out the land of Kanaan. Shlach Lecha. So Rashi says, Lida'atcha, you think it's good, so you could say, if it's up to me, says God, I told you, it's Zavas Chal V'dvash, we don't need scouts to go see what the land is like. If you think you need scouts, so you could go send scouts. But the Kli Yakar says, a few different interpretations of the Kli Yakar, but one of the interpretations of the Kli Yakar, which I think you will appreciate, Shlach Lecha Anashim, says the Kli Yakar, Lida'ati, are you ready? I'm not making this up. Lida'ati, Yoter Tov Lishloach Nashim Hamechababot Et Ha'aretz. The Kli Yakar says, what does it mean, Shlach Lecha Anashim? Lecha Anashim. You think we should send men, as in males, Lida'ati, I'm not making this up, Yoter Tov Lishloach Nashim Hamechababot Et Ha'aretz. You should know, says Hashem to Moshe, so to speak, according to Kli Yakar, I think it will be better to send females. Women. because they love mechababot chibeb. They love, the land is endear to them. It's so special to them. They desire the land. So what does the Kli Yaakov bring as proof? The benot zelafchad, who we still have to meet, tenu lanu achuza. What do we want? A possession. Lama nigra as nachas avinu. Why should the portion of our father be diminished? Our father died. Banim lo hayu lo. He didn't have sons. There are five daughters, and what do they want? A portion in Eretz Yisrael. So what does Hashem say? Kein beno safra dobos. Good idea. It was a great kasha. I have a good answer. They want a piece of the land. Give them a piece of the land. So all the women entered, and the women loved the land, and the women didn't sin. Miriam, what a mystery. What a mystery. Vayevav b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edah midbar tzin b'chodesh ha'rishon. It's Nisan. Vayeshiv ha'am b'kadesh. They dwelled in Kadesh. Note that the word is a play and it is a sanctified place. Why is it sanctified? Vatamas sham Miriam. Vatikaver sham. The one who waited for Moshe, who saved the Redeemer, who approached Bas Paro and said, maybe the child's not nursing from an Egyptian. Should I go get you a Hebrew wet nurse who goes gets the child's own mother? Miriam, the leader of the woman. Atikach Miriam achos arnas hatov biyada vatetzeda kala nashim achareha. She's the leader of all the women. Betupu mchomo. She leads the women in dance, in faith, in song. The be'er Miriam is in her merit. The Gemara famously says shlalosh parnasim tovus hayulah the Israel. Israel had three good sustainers, like from parnasa, three good sustainers. I don't know a better word. The Be'er's in the schus of Miriam, the man in the schus of Moshe, the Aranei Akavod in the schus of Aaron. And yet, for all her credit and all her worth and all her tenacity and all her faith, for all of their amuna, they saw God, therefore they revered God. And they did not do what the king of Egypt spoke. They saved the Vatachayana Asayadim. Not only did they not kill the boys, they kept them alive. Miriam, who said to Amram, you're worse than Paro. Paro lo gazar al azcharim, ato gazar azcharim v'al nekevas. Paro lo gazar al alom haza, ato gazar alom haza v'alom haba. Vatamas sham Miriam. What a tragedy. We always talk about the tragedy of Moshe not going into Eretz Yisrael. What a tragedy. Maryam, perhaps in the end, her name comes back to her. Miriam of bitter waters. Chukas, zos chukas haTorah. Adam ki yamus ba'oha. This is the mystery of the Torah. When a man dies in a tent, when there's no explanation, when I face the great mystery of life that ends too soon. Without explanation, without answer. What's a chok? A chok is a law that is beyond human comprehension. A mishpat I could understand. Kabeides avicha vesimecha. Va'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Kol yasam va'almanan lo sa'anun. Ger lo sonev lo sechatzena. I could understand not to oppress a convert. Because I was a stranger and a strange land. I could understand to honor my father and mother. I could understand not to speak rechilus. Lo seilech rachil ba'amecha. I could understand. Could understand to give charity. Nason tise no v'al yerabenach bilavavcha. I could understand to open my heart. And then, of course, there are so many laws and mysteries and rules that we cannot fathom, and we do them because that's the mark of a Jew. Rashi gives classic examples of chukim. Paraduma is the classic example. This parsha is called Chukas, the red heifer. How could the same ashes make somebody pure and make somebody else impure? The same ashes. Is this possible? Does it make sense? Rashi says other examples of chukim are shatnis, like who cares if you wear tzemru pishtim, linen and wool together? Why does it make a difference if it's a wool suit and there's linen sewing down the collar? I don't know. Another example is Machalos Asuros and Machalos Mutaros, Parsha Shmini. I don't know. Why can I eat this bird? Why can I eat this bird? Because God said, and I don't understand. What else is a chok?
Shiluch HaKein.
Shiluch HaKein, okay, very nice. Shiluch HaKein is a chok. Shiluch HaKein is a chok. Vesabanim Tikachach, very nice. And what else is a chok? The death of Miriam. The banishment, not the death of Miriam. The chok is the death of Miriam, seemingly premature before her time. How could she, the leader of these women, be in Kadesh? And yet it's called Kadesh, it's sanctified through her death, the death of Moshe. And Eivor HaYardin says the Rav is the chok of the Torah. Zos chukas haTorah, Adam ki amus ba'ohel. And furthermore, who dies in this week's parasha? Aharon. He should go up to the top of Har Hahar and strip him of his clothing. Vayavshe Moshe's Aharon's begadav. Vayavish osam es alazar beno Aharon, the man of tzimtzum. The man of tzimtzum, contraction, self-control, the man of withdrawal. The man who holds his mouth, the man who never questions the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Aaron, he's faced with Avateitzei Esh Milfnei Hashem V'Tochos and Vayamus Milfnei Hashem. A divine fire emanates, and his two sons die in a moment of ecstasy. Aaron's not even allowed to mourn silence. In the Machlokas of Korach, Aaron doesn't open his mouth. Aaron, the Nar who stands crying for Knesset Yisrael, for the destiny and the future. Vayalbish osam es Elazar, the clothing come off of Aaron, they go to Elazar, his son, Vayamas Aaron Sham. Berosh Ahar, Aaron dies there. No, Vatamas Sham Miriam, Vayamas Aaron Sham, somewhere, in some anonymous location, for some unknown reason. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Vayamas Aaron Sham, Berosh Ahar, Aaron dies there at the top of the mountain. Vayerid Moshe Elazar min Hahar. And Moshe and Elazar come down from the mountain. Why did Aaron die there? Gvul Eretz Edom. They're so close. You know when you're so close, but so far. Vayesef Aaron al Amav ki lo yavo el haaretz. Aaron will be gathered in, a euphemism or a metaphor, a term for death, but he will not come to the land, asher nasati uvnei Yisrael, al asher mirisim espi lemei miriva. Because you rebelled against me. You defied me by the waters of strife, and therefore he too will die. Moshe goes through this process. Vayiru kol adam ki kola eda ki gava Aaron. Vayibchu es Aaron shloshim yam. Kol beis Yisrael. How great was Aaron? Everybody knows how great Aaron is. Kol beis Yisrael. Who cried for him? Anashim vehanashim. The men and the women. Lefi shahaya Aaron rodef shalom. By the way, not an accident that the only yurtzeit we have, of course, written down for us in the Torah text is the death of Aharon HaKohen, who died in Rosh Chodesh Av. And it's not an accident that Aaron, who died on Rosh Chodesh Av, is meant to teach us to be misakin, if we can somehow, to be misakin for the terrible travesty of lack of shalom that destroyed our temple. He died Rosh Chodesh Av. And Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, I probably quoted it last week. I say that during these time of Tammuz and Av, I quote the Gemara repeatedly and all the time. And that is that we all know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, Gilai Arayos, and Avodah Zarah, the three Yagval Yavars, Mikdash Sheni Pnei Machara. But the second temple, for what purpose was it destroyed? And the Gemara goes on to tell you that people were osek in Torah, Mitzvahs, and Gemilas Chasadim. It's a quote. Go look it up. The people were osek. They were involved in Torah, Mitzvahs, and Gemilas Chasadim Pnei Machara. So it sounds like such a nice community. Wouldn't you like to live in a place where there's a lot of Torah, mitzvahs, and chesed gemaras? Why was it destroyed? Mepnei shahaisav osinas chinim lulamdacha, shashkula sinas chinim kenegad shalosh averos. To teach you that sinas chinim is equal to all three averos. So if you took the three yargval yavars, which we would never consider doing, avodah zarah, gila rais, and shvichus damim, idolatry, forbidden sexual relationships, and bloodshed, and you put on this size scale, no one will consider transgressing any of those transgressions, and you put on this side of the scale, sinas chinim lulamdecha, shashkula sinas chinim, the scales would outweigh each other. They would be equal in balance. Lamdecha shashkula sinas chinim kenegad shalosh aveiros gila rais vodazara and shvichus damim. And for this, I know, but I want to finish this thought, please. And for this, we're still in galus. For the three cardinal sins, the Galus was relatively short. 70 years, there were those who saw the first temple and lived to see the second temple. And for the sins of sin is chinim, here we are. And the Yerushalmi famously tells us, Kodosh lo bana biyamav kilu nechro biyamav. What do we learn from Aaron's death? Which was on Rosh Chodesh Av? Which is in this week's parasha? Chukas, who cried? everybody, ha'anashim va'anashim, l'fisha haya aron rodef shalom. He chased after peace. He wasn't passive. He didn't just say, oh, if there's peace, it's nice, and if there's not peace, it's bad. He actively pursued peace. Umatil ahava, bein ba'ale meriva, he instilled love between quarreling parties, uvein ish liishto, and between a man and his wife. And of course, we learn in Pirkei Avos that one should be from the students of Aharon HaKohen. Olev shalom verodev shalom, olev esabrius umekarvel notor. You should love peace, pursue peace, love people and bring them close to her. It's not enough to be passively accepting of peace, but to actively chase peace. And this Aharon HaKohen, this Gaon Sheva Gaonim, this Kohen Gadol, also never what? Made it across the river. Did he talk by the sin of the rock? We're going to go to that shortly. We look briefly at Miriam's death. Now we're looking briefly at Aaron's death. Did he even say anything? Who took the stick and hit the rock two times? Who says to the people, listen, O you rebels, from this rock we will bring forth water? Yes.
It could be that maybe Aaron and Miriam's death was a chesed. Because they were, from the prophecy in the beginning, watching Moshe Rabbeinu. And maybe it was a chesed for them not to see that he wasn't put in, not allowed into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they couldn't, it would be very hard for them if they went in and Moshe didn't.
Okay, the only thing is with that, Miriam died prior to the sin, but Aaron was already heard that Moshe wasn't going in, because immediately Hashem says, Ya'an lo ha'mantim bilak tisheni. Immediately Hashem says, you're not going in, which Aaron was aware of.
Right, so he shouldn't live to see it.
Okay, but he knew it was happening.
But he also died on Rosh Chodesh Av, and so they always say that inside the Klala is the Refuah. So maybe inside the Klala of Av is the Refuah of Aaron's death.
Yes, however, we need to bring that latent potential, that dormant potential, to fruition.
Right, and he's the lesson for us.
That's
his
right.
Death is the lesson.
That's exactly right. So I don't know. So do we take the lesson? I don't know.
Does this take place a year after the Meraglim? It has to be after the Meraglim.
Okay, so I need to talk about the time frame, which I didn't tell you yet. Okay, the time frame is, this is the end of desert wandering. Between Parshas Korach, which takes place right after the Meraglim, the Rav Salvechik says that Korach always harbored this resentment against his first cousins. He was not happy as soon as Aaron was appointed the Kohen Gadol, as Moshe's the leader, he's not happy. Why did he wait? Because he knew, says the Rav, like, why did he wait till after the Meraglim? If he's not happy, so Moshe wasn't appointed now, and Aaron wasn't the mouthpiece in the Kohen Gadol from now, why did he wait till now? So the Rav explains that because he knew the people revered Moshe too much. They loved Moshe. They loved Aaron. We just read Rashi. They love them. They're not looking for a rebellion or a coup. Until now, Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch points out that until the Parshas Korach, all the rebellions were against God, so to speak, says Rav Shem Shafalish. Korach is the rebellions against the leadership. Things change. Something changes in Korach. No longer are the people saying, we don't have water, we want meat, the man is nauseating, we hate the desert, we're all going to die here. That's all against Ribbono Shel Olam. Now something is different. Rav Lachem, Kala Eido Kulam Kadoshim, who are they arguing with now? Moshe, Rav Shem Shafalish says, until now, the rebellions have been against God. Now the rebellion is against Moshe. So Rav Salvechik says, why now? Even though he harbored this resentment for a long time, because he realized his in. Once Moshe lost credibility, says Rav Salvechik, in the eyes of the people, Korach knew it was his opportunity. What do you mean lost credibility? It's after the sin of the spies. What happened to the great promise of Vehevesi Eschem El Arts? What happened to the land of Zavas Chalav Udvash? In fact, that's what the people accuse him of. That's what Dasan and Aviram say. You didn't bring us the land of Zavas Chalav Udvash. It's not an accident. After they're told, all of your corpses, your bodies, your carcasses will fall in this desert. Oh, now Korach says, he goes around, Rashi says, the whole night, Rashi says, Kedivrei Leitzanus, stirring up the people to have them join the quarrel, because he understood he had an in. Now they're disgruntled. Now they're not happy. Now they don't trust Moshe so much. So Korach falls immediately after the parsha of Meraglim. And now we understand why. One second. However, Vayavol b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edah, the parasha that we're talking about, and specifically the chapter we're talking about, which is Perachov, the entire assembly. It should just say, Vayavol b'nei Yisrael midbar tzin. The B'nai Yisrael came to the wilderness of Tzin in the first month, and they dwelled in Kadesh, and Miriam died. Why does it say, Vayavo B'nai Yisrael, Kol Ha'eda, the children of Israel, the entire assembly? What do you mean entire assembly? Why do you tell me entire assembly? You just told me B'nai Yisrael. I don't know entire assembly. So the first Rashi to Perachov, Eda HaShlema, the entire assembly, meaning Shlema, the whole assembly, the complete assembly. Shakvar Mesu Misei Midbar. Shakvar Meitu Meitei Midbar. Those who were destined or condemned to death in the desert already died. Ve'elu perishu lechayim. These ones are separated for life. So, who are we talking about here? The second generation now. How many years have passed since we last read? 38 years. What happens in those 38 years? The Rav says it's Hester Panim. The people lived in order to die. The Medrash Eicha Rabbah famously tells us that every Tisha B'Av, they would dig their own graves. They would get into the graves, and in the morning the call would go out, separate the living from the dead. Whoever was alive knew they had another year. Whoever was dead, his time was up. Kvar Mesu Mese Midbar, Shekvar Meitu Meite Midbar. Where are we? You just fast-forwarded 38 years. I know nothing about those 3 years. How could I know nothing about those 3 years? Something happened. Something happened. No one said anything. You don't know. Hester Panim. Salvatrix says this was a time of Hester Panim, concealment of the divine face. The people lived in order to die. That's not the Rav, that's the Medrash Eicha Rabbah. We know that from Parsha Shlach. You're all going to die in this desert. You're going to live in order to die. So in terms of the timeline, we have just fast-forwarded 38 years. Unbelievable. But you have, oh, so what I was saying, okay, before we continue, I just wanted to talk about the time frame because you asked that question specifically, but we're still talking about Aharon and this idea of Chok, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Adam Kiyamus Ba'oah, and Aharon, who is a man of such integrity, a man of such silence, a man of quiet, passive acceptance when facing the Gezeira of the Ribono Sholem, the man who did not question, the man who hardly opens his mouth, the man who is a lover of peace and a pursuer of peace, dies at the top of Har Hahar. And we're talking about, yes, it is supposed to be a tiklun. Of course we're supposed to take a lesson. It's not an accident that Hashem prepares the refuah before the machla. It's not an accident that he died on Rosh Chodesh Av to imbue this month with the quality of shalom. But it is a late dormant. Which one is it? Dormant, right? Dormant. In other words, like not hidden. Sleepy. It needs to be brought to fruition. The potential is there. For it to be a tremendous month of Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom, but we can't seem to get it right. And I don't know. I don't know when there are demonstrations. And I mean, imagine when Jews demonstrate against other Jews. Imagine the lack of Shalom in our time. When we could take out theaters and stadiums and coliseums to publicly demonstrate against our fellow Jew. We spoke last week about Mechulkas, I think. Yeah, Korach. Kol Mechulkas she l'shem Shemayim. Kol Mechulkas she ain't l'shem Shemayim. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow the secular news. But my husband told me it was all over the news. Told me it was in all the news. It was in all the news outlets.
I didn't see it either.
What?
I don't listen to the news ever.
And I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Okay, whether you, I also didn't hear it, but it was reported. So imagine what it looks like. Imagine what it looks like. Of course, Aaron's death is supposed to be a tikkun for a time of shalom.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
What?
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
What happened? Do you not know that there was 2 weeks ago a NASA Coliseum, 15,000 Jews protesting against the Zionist enemy? You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Ashrecha.
No, I don't.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abidvar.
Amen.
I don't count them as any.
Nobody else sees
them.
I think they're
yotzei. Okay, you're lucky you don't know. Very good. I don't follow the secular news. It was on the Jewish news sites also. Maybe you don't follow the Jewish news either.
No.
It was on the websites. Ladies, come.
They said if people listen
ladies,
to the news,
what?
They say when people listen to the news, you're 30% more predisposed to depression.
30% more?
More predisposed to depression. So I don't listen to the news.
That's very good. Yeah.
What's the thing? B'nai Yisrael, Korach had an in with B'nai Yisrael because they were discontent with Moshe. Correct?
Say it again, please.
Korach had an in. He was now was the time.
Right. He was jealous of his first cousins.
Right. So my point is that B'nai Yisrael were upset with Moshe because they weren't there in the Midbar, but they didn't take blame for themselves. They would not have been in the Midbar had they not done what they did.
So, isn't that us?
Yeah.
I don't accept responsibility for my action. I stand before God and I try and give excuses as to why I did this wrong. I'm always malamed chus upon myself. Why I couldn't do this chesed, that chesed, daven properly, this much. So I always give myself benefit of the doubt. I always want to blame somebody else. But hello, the Gemara Pashut says, Ein Adam Roa Chova La'atzmo. Chova means chiyuv, obligation, but what it means is his own faults. I'm so quick to see everybody else's problem. Oh, Moshe's a liar, and Moshe's a failure, and Moshe should never have sent men, and why did Moshe send us to Eretz Yisrael? And Moshe's to blame, and there's no Zavas Chavudvash. Of course they don't want to take responsibility. Isn't that human nature? What does it mean? Ein Adam Roa Chova La'atzmo. I see everyone else's faults, but my own, yeah?
You see everybody else's faults that are within you, yourself.
That's right.
But
it's a mirror.
You only see it in somebody
That's
else.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. I forget where I recently just read that. Oh, it was in Mishpacha. There was like a one-liner in Mishpacha. On Rabbi Moshe Garlick's page, they usually have a one-liner on top from a Hasidish Rebbe. I didn't cut it out, but it was very good. It was very impactful. I forgot which Hasidish Rebbe says that a person's like a mirror, and the faults you see in somebody else are really your own. Yeah, but I want to identify them in somebody else. I don't want to identify them in myself. I just want to finish this piece, please. What we're looking at is Zos Chukas HaTorah, Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohel, and we spoke about Miriam, and certainly she is the Yotzei Min HaKlal in the generation who's not going. I mean, if you could think of any woman who would be deserving to go into Eretz Yisrael, wouldn't it be Miriam? And here we have Aaron's death. Excuse me, specifically we have the date of his death, which is certainly not an accident, and he did not live to see the permanent Beis HaMikdash. He was not zochet to serve there. And the Rav says that these deaths are the mystery of the Torah. Zos Chukas HaTorah. It's not so hard to remember the parasha that all three leaders die, two physically and one metaphysically, because it's a parasha of Chukas. And the Rav says that's the chok, the mystery. You don't understand Shanus, you don't understand Kashus, you don't understand Paraduma, you don't understand Shiluch HaKein. I'll give you one you really don't understand. And it's here.
Why was Miriam punished?
I don't know. So why isn't she going into Eretz Yisrael? Right. It's a very strong kasha.
For
I want to read, please. Revenue. 1 second. Ladies, please. Ladies. Okay. We have already noted, I'm quoting from Salvechik. This is from his commentary, Themes on the Kinos. It's called The Lord is Righteous in All His Days. We're coming up to Tisha B'Av. If you want some apropos and meaningful learning / reading for Tisha B'Av, check this safer out. The Holocaust. We've already noticed Tisha B'Av is the day designated to commemorate and mourn for all Jewish tragedies, which includes the Holocaust. We read a lot about it. 6 million. It's very hard to say the words. What does it mean? Everyone had a house, a home, may have been a rich home, a plain one, a poor one. Each had a home. And each home was a Beis HaMikdash. A holy temple. Not only the Batei Midrashim, the halls of study, but every home throughout Lithuania, Poland, White Russia, was a Beis HaMikdash. Every home had its own tradition. If it was only a Beit Midrash that was burned, a hall of study, I would not care so much. But they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't just destroy the Beit Midrash. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that was really responsible for the survival of the people. And which Beis HaMikdash for 2,000 years has been responsible for the survival of Am Yisrael? The private home of every Jew. I am beginning to see images, says the Rav. And one image I see is of a carpenter. A carpenter. Elia Destolier, he was called. D-E-R, it's not English. S-T-O-L-I-E-R. Does anyone know what language it is? I've asked people before, and I don't know if it's Yiddish, Russian. One image I see is of a carpenter. Elia Destolier, he was called. He was a short fellow. And out of the Rav have contact.
It sounds Russian.
It's Russian? Like okay. How do you pronounce it?
Destolier.
What is it? I can't hear.
Stolier.
Stolier? So I'm not saying it so wrong.
No.
Oh, okay. Elia Destolier. Can I have your pen for a second? Thank you. He was a short fellow. How did the Rav come to know him? He rented out a large room, ladies. He rented out a large room to my Cheder Melamed. The Rav speaks so fondly. His Cheder Melamed was a Chabad Melamed. Until he was 8, he went to learn by a Chabad Melamed. Then, after he was 8, his mother realized he wasn't learning any Gemara, so she took him to his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha, and she said, give the boy a fahir. So Reb Chaim Brisker tested him, and he said to son Reb Moshe, the boy doesn't know anything. Pull him out of Cheder and start teaching him. And his father became his Rebbe Muvhak, but he says he's indebted forever to his Cheder Melamed because he gave him a passion and a feeling for Judaism. So the Cheder Melamed rented out a large room from Elia Destolier in order to make a living. We used to go through his workshop. They used to go through, the boys to get to Cheder would go through the workshop of Elia to get to Cheder. He was a plain Jew, a simple carpenter, not much of a scholar. He was a Jew. He used to stand a whole day working as a carpenter and say Tehillim. He knew Tehillim by heart. He somehow found a system for reciting it. He used to say certain verses at certain times. For instance, he would say, call Hanishama Tehala, call it all souls, praise God, hallelujah, when a table was completed. As a carpenter. He would say a different verse when he started to do his work. He used to be present when we davened in the mornings, the cheder. We young boys did not pay much attention to him. But on the high holidays, on the Yom Naram, this Reb Elia Destolier was the chazan in the big synagogue in the big shul in Kaslavish. Most probably, he deserved it. He hardly knew how to translate a Mishnah, to understand the Mishnah well. But I am convinced, says the Rav, and I heard this from my father, if there was ever a Jew who was counted among the Lamed Vav Nistarim, the Lamed Vavniks, the 36 hidden righteous people of the generation, it was Reb Elia Destolier. I still have an image of him in my mind. This is not a Beis HaMikdash, says the Rav. His home was a Beis HaMikdash, and it was not only him. There were thousands and thousands and millions of Jews like him. Tisha B'Av is a time, next Shabbos is the day of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We don't fast on Shabbos, but we're about 1 week and a little away from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the day that the Luchos broke, and we're a few weeks away from Tisha B'Av, the day that the spies convinced everyone to sit down and cry, and our whole destiny changed. And we're not so far from Rosh Chodesh Av, when we're supposed to learn to be misakin from the tikkun, the koach, the dormant potential of Aaron Akoli. I don't know. Tisha B'Av is a time, a day of mourning, says the Rav. It is the day on which we tell the story that begins with Esav, that describes the main experience of our Jewish lives in the last 2,000 years. It's not a question of the destruction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the question of the Beis HaMikdash of every Jewish home. And it's so interesting to learn this, keeping in mind, fascinating to learn the words of the Rav, where he says, okay, the Kodesh Kedoshim was destroyed. I could deal with that. The Heichal was destroyed, I could deal with that. But every Jew and what they represent destroyed, that's an irreplaceable Beis HaMikdash. And it's fascinating that the people come to the wilderness of Tzin and they dwell in Kaddish. They dwell in a place that denotes holiness, transcendence, Kedusha, otherworldly persona. Who died in Kaddish? Miriam. It's not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's every Jew. It's not a question of the destruction of the Holy of Holies. The question is of the Beis HaMikdash that was every Jewish home. A Beis HaMikdash in Jerusalem is replaceable. He says elsewhere in a different shir, if you want to go put the cornerstone down of the Beis HaMikdash, politically it might be a disaster, but you could do it. But this Beis HaMikdash, i.e. the Beis HaMikdash of every Jewish home, the Beis HaMikdash of Kodesh, Vatamasham Miriam, the Beis HaMikdash of Elia, the Beis HaMikdash of Aaron on the top of Har HaHar, it's irreplaceable. If we want, oh, here, he says it here. We could build a Beis HaMikdash in Jerusalem. I assure you, we can build an altar. Whether we should do it or not, that's a different story. But theoretically, it's possible to replace altar. Excuse me, there's a temple museum, what's it called? In the old city. I don't know the exact name, I haven't been. But there's a museum where they have rebuilt the, what's it called?
They rebuilt the Temple Institute.
The Temple Institute. Thank you. The Temple Institute. And they have recreated the Kalim according to the specifications given by the Torah. It's possible to rebuild. But says the Rav, can you replace the home of Elia Destoyer? You cannot replace him. You cannot replace his home. And you cannot replace that Beis HaMikdash. And you cannot replace what was lost with Miriam and Aaron. And perhaps we can if we strive enough to be like Aaron. The question is, are we trying hard enough? Let's go on with the story. So remember, we have fast forwarded. We're like on the borders of the promised land. And there's no water for the assembly. They gather in great strength of Moshe and Aaron. We saw these words in Parshas Korach as well. Vayikahalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. Vayikahalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. The exact same lashon is in Korach that is in Chukas. Right before they start complaining that there's no water, you see a very specific terminology. They gather up against Vayikahalu al. Can you see the same lashon by Chet HaEgel in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis? Vayikahal ha'am al Aharon. Vayamru kum aselanu Elohim. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, anytime you see this combination, Vayikahel Al, okay, you saw it by Chet HaEgel, and it leads, unfortunately, to Aaron's downfall. We spoke about the death of his two sons. Rashi says, because of his involvement in Egel, he was actually supposed to lose all four sons. Aaron's tefillas cut the gezerah, Moshe's tefillas cut the gezerah in half. Vayikahal Al, it leads to, in a sense, Aaron's downfall. You see it in Parshas Korach, where Moshe and Aaron fall on their face, and it's a moment of weakness for Moshe and Aaron. And you see it in our Parsha, and it leads to the downfall of Moshe, unfortunately, very unfortunately. Vayikahal, or Vayikahalu Al, of Shamshan Falher says, it denotes a mob psychosis who take over in such strength, it's almost impossible to fight back. And that's why the reaction in Korach is, and they fall on their faces. There's no answer. Their hands are so weakened, proverbially, by the mob psychosis that they don't even know what to do, Moshe and Aaron. Vayerev ha'am im Moshe. And what is so tragic here is, what's so tragic? Which generation is this?
The second generation.
Not the first. We just read Rashi. The first already is finished. They all died in their graves that they dug every Tisha B'Av. This isn't even that generation. And a pattern of following in the footsteps of their fathers. Vayarav ha'ami Moshe. Vayamu Lamor. And by the way, this is where Rashi says, Mikan kol arbim shana hayalam ha-be'er b'schus Miriam. Rashi's quoting Maseches Tanis, where it says, Shalosh parnasim tovim hayu le-Yisrael. Three sustainers there were for Israel. But just to point out the juxtaposition, like Rashi's questioning, really the question of Chazal is, first it tells you Miriam died. Then right away, what does it say? No water. So the question is, what is the connection between her death and no water? So the Gemara tells you that the water was in her merit. Okay? V'lu gavanu bigva achenu l'fnei Hashem. Listen to this. Oh, that we would have died like our brothers died before God. And Rashi says to teach you that death by thirst is one of the worst deaths. So they sound a lot like who? The past. V'lama havesem es kahal Hashem ala midbar hazeh. Look what they're saying. They're like on the border of Eretz Yisrael. Again. Why did you bring this assembly to this wilderness? La musham anachnu bi'reinu. We're all going to die here. Bless you. Our flocks are all going to die here. V'lama ha'elisuni mi'mitzrayim. Why did you bring us up from Egypt? L'havio sanu ala makom hara hazeh. You brought us to this bad place. Lo makom zera. It's not a place of seed. Uteina. What are they referring to? Fig. V'gefen. Grapes. Verima, what are they referring to, of course? The Shiva Saminim. We don't see here figs. We don't see grapes. We don't see rimonim, pomegranates. Umayimim, lishtos. There's no water. But yeah, so Moshe and Aaron flee from this mass assembly to the tent, a meeting. They fall on their faces. What was the reaction in Parshas Korach? They fall on their faces. And the glory of God appears. Vayat daber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God spoke, you know, you asked why was a Miriam going and was she punished? God spoke to Moshe, saying, Moshe takes the staff. They gather the people. Moshe lifts his hand. Moshe strikes the rock. Moshe shouts at the people. That's why Miriam's not going in. Aaron, he's totally passive. He does nothing.
But that's also a lesson. When you see something wrong that's being done, you can't be passive and quiet.
Yes, but nothing's being done wrong until it's actually done. There's not even necessarily a warning that anything is about to happen. Immediately after Moshe does this, immediately, Vayomer Hashem Moshe ve'el Aaron, Yano ha'emantem bi lahakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael. You, plural, because you did not believe me, plural, to make a Kiddush Hashem, plural, before the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you will not lead them to the land.
But Aaron didn't do it.
Adam ki yamus ba'ola. What did Eliyahu the Starlier do? What did a million base of mikdashes do that sustained our people from time immemorial? Zos chukas haTorah. Adam ki yamus ba'ola. I don't understand. You want to know the chok of the Torah? Parshas chukas. Forget the paraduma. What's the chok? What do I understand? I'm reading a book now that mentions, I don't have it with me to show you. Also, I recommend, it's going to go on my website soon. From the Cedars of Lebanon, I think it's called Asael. Forget his last name. It was just translated into English. It's the story of a soldier who was mortally wounded in the Second Lebanon War and survived. And he speaks of his comrades who fell. And he mentions Roe Klein is fighting alongside him. Roe Klein left his wife and two young children. Roe Klein's widow and orphans live next to Elira's parrots in Eli. And when Elira's would go unto Ulim, he would take those boys along with him. And then Roe Klein jumped on a grave in the Second Lebanon War, and he shouted, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and his children were orphans. And then, that was 2006, and then in 2010, Elira's parrot was killed in the Gaza Strip. Adam ki yamus ba'ol zos chukas haTorah. I don't know. What did Aaron do? Aaron was silent. No, Aaron did nothing. What did Miriam do?
No, but over here.
What?
But Hashem says, tells Aaron, the same as he tells Moshe.
Yeah.
But Aaron.
Oh, so I know. We're saying the same thing. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemar kachas amata. Take your staff. Vahakel es ha'eda. Gather the assembly. Atav arnachicha. You and Aaron, your brother. Vidibartem el hasela. You shall speak to the rock. Keep in mind that in Shemos Yud Zion, when the same incident happens, 40 years, 39 years earlier, Moshe is 40 years earlier. Sefer Devarim is only 40 days. Soliloquy. Moshe is told to hit the rock. In that case, it's a tzur. In this case, it's a sela. There he has to hit. Here he has to speak. Le'inehim v'nasan meima v'ot seisa le'mayim min hasela. V'ishkisa es ha'eda v'es b'iram. Water will come forth from the rock and you will give to drink for the assembly and for their flocks. Because remember, they complain. excuse me, not only do they not have water, but the flocks also don't have water. Vayikach Moshe Esamata Milifnei Hashem Ka'asher Tzivahu. Moshe takes the staff as he was commanded. Vayikalu Moshe Aharon Hakol. Interesting lashon. Before they gather against him and they fall on their faces, they gather the assembly al pnei hasala to the face of this rock. Vayomer lahem, and he says to them, singular. Shimuna hamorim, famous last words. Mamish famous last words, pun is intended. Shimuna hamorim hamin hasala hazeh notzila hamayim. Listen, O you rebels, from this rock, do you think we will bring forth water? Vayarev Moshe es yado. He lifts his hand. He's supposed to be using his mouth. Instead of his mouth to speak pleasantly to the rock, he expresses an element of anger against the people. That's the pshat of the Rambam, Maimonides, as to what the sin was. According to the Rambam, as quoted by the Ramban in his Perush, the Rambam says the sin was his anger, his action, his derogatory speech, his anger, his kas against the people. He says, listen, O you rebels, you think from this rock we will bring forth water. He then takes his staff in his hand. Hitting the rock is indicative, really, tragically, of what yelling at people does to a person. According to the Rambam, the sin was ka'as, not the striking of the rock, even though that's what Rashi pshat is here. He struck the rock two times, and there is a correlation between the staff of words that hits and the hand that hits. And a person can cause tremendous pain and hate, and I shouldn't use the word hate, well, you can, by the way, but I don't mean that vis-a-vis Moshe. A person caused tremendous pain and damage through the staff of words, just like through the staff of hand. Vayara Moshe es yado, vayach es hasala b'mateu p'amayim. He lifts his hand, he strikes the rock with the staff two times. Vayetsu mayim rabim. The waters come out. And everybody drinks. The people drink, the flocks drink, everyone has water immediately. Vayom Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon, el Aharon, Ya'an lohe amantim bilak tisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, because you did not believe in me in order to make a Kiddush Hashem before the eyes of the children of Israel, lachein. Lo saviu es hakahal hazeh el haaretz. We will not bring the people to the land asher nasati lahem. There have always been stirrings that Moshe was not going in to Eretz Yisrael, all the way by the snare. Okay? Parak Vav Pasuk Aleph of Shemos, when Moshe questions Hashem's ways. So Hashem says, Ata tir'ed, now you will see how strong my hand is against Paro. What do you mean now? You will see. You'll see what I will do to Paro. You won't see what I will do to the seven nations. But that's not in the Pasha Pshat of the Psukim. There was almost like there was a, talking about a dormant potential. There was a dormant potential for Moshe to not be going into Eretz Yisrael from the time he was appointed as a leader. But there was never an action. You know, you say someone is predisposed to allergies, let's say. Okay? Chas v'sham, someone's predisposed to allergies. You need a trigger to bring that predisposition to the surface. If someone is just predisposed but doesn't have it, they need a trigger. So there are clues, yes. There are hints, yes, that Moshe's not going in. Of course, in Baal Loscha, the famous Eldad Ameda, we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, are having a prophecy that Yoshua's going to lead the people in, and Moshe will die. Moshe's told all the way after the snare, that you're going to see my action against Paro, but not my action against the seven nations. It was some sort of dormant potential. Well, what brought it to fruition was the action at Mei Meriva. Heima Mei Meriva, Asher Ravu B'nei Yisrael as Hashem. These are the waters of strife. The B'nei Yisrael strove or argued, quarreled with Hashem. Vayikadesh Bam. And he was sanctified there. What I think is so beautiful, just as a P.S. to our Shia. The very next pasuk, I think this is the true mark of an Eved Hashem. I think this is such a tremendous lesson. So maybe if I were Moshe, I would have thrown in the towel and walked off the job. Throw down my stick, the people have water, find somebody else. Yoshua could just take over today. We're finished. There's no Sefer Devarim. Why? What am I working for? What's Moshe working for? Hashem. And even when he does not understand Zos Chukas HaTorah Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohal, even when Miriam has died and I can't understand, and even when Moshe and Aaron have just been decreed upon them proverbial death, when Aaron is about to die, the quintessential Ever Hashem never walks off the job. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. He continues with his job as if nothing has happened. He sends messengers to the king of Edom. So says your brother Israel, you know all the travail that have befallen us, where we were in Egypt for so many days, Egyptians were bad for us, we called out to God, he heard our voice. Can we please pass through your land? We're not going to trespass, we won't take the fields or the vineyard, we just want to pass through your land. You know, we always talk so much about the juxtaposition of one topic in the Torah to the next topic of the Torah. What do you learn? What does Moshe do immediately after this devastating, life-changing, nation-altering, infamous proclamation? You're not going into the land. You didn't believe in me. You didn't make a Kiddush Hashem. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim, Mikadesh El Melech Edom. He does not throw down the stick. He doesn't walk off into the wilderness. He doesn't leave the spotlight. He doesn't say to Yoshua, you take the reins. He continues till his very last day. Because Zos Chukas HaTorah, even if I do not understand, I will continue with the job that God and the task that God demands of me. And therefore, the greatest to'ar, the greatest compliment, Vayamasha Moshe, Eved Hashem, Al Pi Hashem, Be'eretz Mov. To the last day, despite the Chukas HaTorah, Moshe does not give up.
Well, he already knew he couldn't. He tried to run away from Hashem in the beginning and realized he's not going to let him alone.
You're right.
He learned the lesson.
I prefer to see the tenacity, the faith, the courage, the hope, and the dedication of Moshe the leader.
Also, it's very interesting because you say Aaron doesn't talk. In the beginning of this story, Aaron does all the talking for Moshe. When they come, he goes, I can't talk. Hashem says, Aaron will talk for you.
Aaron achicha yen viacha. Matur gaman, kai benakim, please.
So Aaron knew when to talk and when not to talk.
Thank you.
Aaron, and he said, Aaron ran after Shalom.
Correct. Maybe, I didn't say that. Chazal said that.
But Chazal, you mentioned it.
Okay.
So maybe, knowing his brother, maybe he should have ran after him when he heard the people, because maybe Aaron would have understood his brother might be a little perturbed.
That's what I was saying.
And maybe told him, you know, calm down
before anything even happens.
That's what I was alluding to before.
Because he was intuitive and he ran after
the people.
And he knew his brother.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, very good. Very nice.